rate's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the paths of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure fools, you were walking real proud, and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome back, or welcome aboard. Jeff Metcalf here with you on WorldNet Daily Radio. 877-456-6789 is the toll-free number. This hour, we're going to be joined by someone who, I guess he heard me before I heard him. But Joe Bannister is a former IRS agent, as you've heard me mention before. He has got a fascinating story, which soon you may be able to get exposed to in a different venue. Let me welcome to the program. Joe, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good. Good to have you here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
For those people who may not be up to speed and know your story, why don't we start off first by explaining how you went from being a gun-carrying, badge-carrying IRS special agent to a tax protester?
Well, I can thank you for that, Jeff.
I know your wife doesn't, but...
Actually, it started out, I was and still am a Jeff Metcalf fan, and I listened to you when you were in Sacramento, and then later when you were in the San Francisco Bay Area. Can I mention the call letters?
Sure, I don't care.
KSFO. And listened to you for a long time and basically developed a deep-seated trust that what you said was true. And I felt that way right up until December of 1996, when you had a lady on your show named D.V. Kidd. And as you may recall...
And you heard us talking, you said, Jeff just had some brain flatulence.
Yes, I thought, what happened to Jeff? Gosh, I thought I'd really found my guy who always told the truth and always had truthful guests, and now look at this. And the reason for my skepticism was that D.V. Was speaking about the income tax, and she was saying that it was largely a voluntary system. She talked about the 16th Amendment.
There. Oh, even Senator Kerry admits that, Joe. Come on.
Yeah, well, I've learned that now that I've read up on all this. But 16th Amendment had never been ratified, and the money that we think goes towards running our government is actually has another purpose.
Now, at the time, you're driving around in your car with your badge and your gun, and you're enforcing these laws.
Absolutely. I mean, when I listened to you, I was driving in my G car, as we call them. I had my 6 hour 9mm, 13 rounds plus one in the chamber, handcuffs, the whole bit. I was working when I heard you and DV talk. But what I heard was what just shook me to my core, because your guest, DV Kidd, was saying that the income tax that I was had taken an oath to enforce was supposedly voluntary.
So what'd you do about it? You didn't kick in my door that night, for which I appreciate it.
No, but because I had heard it on your show and thought there's something strange going on, because why would Jeff, who'd worked so hard to get the reputation he had, have DV on saying these things? So I started to look into it. The first thing I did in January of 97 was to, I had ordered DV Kidd's booklets, which she put out on the radio there.
Bankrupt America.
Bankrupt America and Blind Loyalty. And I received those in early January of 97, and that began my journey of about 2 years of off-duty, you know, evening and weekend and vacation day research to try to disprove what she had said on your show.
Well, I'm kind of curious, because I know the history that you're going to share with the listeners, but when you first heard that, did you go back to the office and go into your boss and say, hey, do you know what I just heard?
No. I kept it to myself because I just thought it was absolutely crazy. I mean, I just thought this is nuts. I mean, something's wrong with this picture, but I didn't tell a soul. I just started reading. I mean, I like to read, but I ended up reading, and I realized with every page that I would turn, whether it was DV's books or all the other research materials that I turned to, it just got more and more. I don't want to use the word crazy, because it basically got more and more that she was telling the truth, and what the IRS had been telling me and telling the American people was false.
Well, actually, Bill Benson's books are less of a book and more of a compendium of official documents.
That's right. And in fact, later, during my research, what I started to do was to contact some of the people that D.V. Kidd actually listed in her books, one of them being Bill Benson, who had done research back in the mid-'80s to determine whether or not the 16th Amendment had ever been ratified. And, of course, he found out and has 17,000 documents to prove that the 16th Amendment never was ratified, or at least it was fraudulently ratified. And so I began communicating with Bill Benson while I was a special agent carrying the gun and the badge. And he
had some of your colleagues communicating with him, too.
Yeah, they had a little bit different agenda, but... So, I mean, bottom line was with Bill Benson, Bill Conklin, all the different people that D.V. Kidd mentioned in her booklets, I was expecting to talk with people who were, you know, drooling and...
Knuckle-draggers.
Yeah, exactly. Knuckle-draggers that couldn't understand what they were saying. But time and time again, I would find people that were, you know, very understandable, educated. I mean, Bill Conklin had a master's degree in communications. Bill Benson used to be a special agent for the Illinois Department of Revenue, you know, very similar job to what I was doing.
Let me speed you up just a bit. You eventually put about a 90-page document together and submitted it to your superiors. What was in that document?
It was basically highlights of my 2 years of research, 2 years of attempting to disprove what D.V. Kidd said that day, but being unable to do so. And I realized that, you know, my oath to support and defend the Constitution, my own morals, my religion, you know, to do unto others, the golden rule, the ninth commandment, you know, I can't bear false witness against others, love my neighbor. Everything told me that I needed to speak up about this to my bosses at the IRS and get an answer.
So this was less of an epiphany and more of a transition for you.
Yes.
What happened when you went to your bosses and said, hey, you know, here's my scholarly research on these tax protesters. I want you guys to look at this.
Well, it was kind of disappointing. I mean, I went and I reiterated my experience, you know, that I was a certified public accountant, that I had a degree in accounting. I had tons of training. And I was certainly, you know, not to brag, but to say, hey, I'm not a bozo, guys. I mean, I really worked hard at this job. And I've tried to disprove these allegations about the income tax, but I've been unable to do so. I need your assistance to get to the bottom of this so that I can feel good about the job I'm doing and continue to abide by my oath of office. Well,
And they said,
get the hell out of here. They refused to discuss it with me.
Did they tell you they read the document?
The chief of the Central California District told me that at least the assistant commissioner for criminal investigation, which would be the guy that answers to the commissioner himself, basically the head of our whole criminal investigation division, he was aware of my situation. But my chief told me, he said, Joe, you know, I've dealt with integrity problems, but never an integrity problem quite like this. You know, he said, you seem to have a problem with, or you've developed a problem with enforcing these laws. And he says, I didn't really know how to handle this, so what I'm about to do, I've been instructed to do. And he handed me a memorandum that was only about 2 paragraphs long. And it said that the IRS will not be responding to your report and will provide you with the paperwork necessary to tender your resignation. And then it said it sent me on administrative leave for a period of a week to decide what my next move would be. So they didn't fire me, but they sent me home immediately for a week to think about it.
They take your gun and your badge?
They took my gun, but not my badge until a week later. So it was, you know, it's not that I expected them to stop the world just for Joe Bannister, but at that point, no one knew about it except my immediate family, myself, and the people at the IRS that I, you know, told about this. And I think at a minimum, since I told them, this was about my oath This was about right and wrong, the Constitution, the rule of law. It didn't seem to matter. They told me to hit the road.
Joe, stay with me. We're going to take a brief pause. We'll be back, and we'll continue this discussion. I want to talk to Joe about some of the consequences of what happened to him and how things kind of can mushroom and how one person really can make a difference. I'm Jeff Metcalf. We're talking with Joe Bannister on WorldNet Daily Radio. Yeah, 21 minutes past the hour. Jeff Metcalf here with you. We're speaking with Joe Bannister, former IRS agent, current tax protester. And things happen. I mean, sometimes a spark hits a tinder and things start to smolder, and then they grow into small fires, and small fires become big fires. We had DV on Tuesday, Joe, and she told us about the Bill Benson lawsuit in Oklahoma on the 18th of this month. We're not in Kansas anymore. I'd like you to tell us about this Project Toto.
It's quite exciting. It's going to be a national advertising campaign targeted at the average American out there who, like me, had no clue about how deep this income tax fraud is. And apparently there's some, people that are ponying up some actual dollars to...
Before we get into Toto, I got to ask you this, because I've been meaning to ask you this for a long time. Since you left the IRS, have they been in any communication with you?
Oh, with the IRS?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's all been me writing them letters, asking for meetings, asking for an audit, asking to basically get in their face every chance I get.
One of the obvious questions that several people have asked is, okay, this is Joe Bannister. He's got a big mouth. He left the IRS. Did he file his income tax?
No, I did not.
Willful failure to file. Why aren't you in jail?
Well, I guess they'd have to prove willfulness. I've actually, if people want to read exactly what I've decided to do, they can go to dv.com, D-E-V-V-Y.com. It's not really a yes and no answer. I've continued to write them checks, but I wouldn't call it paying tax because they haven't assessed me. My purpose for doing that is I want to prove to people or show them that I'm not doing this for the money. I'm not doing this to fatten my own bank account. I'm doing this because the IRS is lying to people. But I cannot file a tax return because I'd be signing it under penalty of perjury. And now that I know what I know, I would be perjuring myself. I would be lying on that form. I've got file cabinets full of the evidence and laws as to why I personally am not required to file one. So, you know, either I'm a fraud when I speak on the radio or I put out my report, or I'm a fraud when I sign that tax return.
What is Project Toto?
Project Toto was something I don't know who I can attribute the great name to, but for those, most everyone who's seen The Wizard of Oz, that little dog Toto goes over and pulls back the curtain to reveal who the Wizard of Oz really is. Not really the big...
The great and powerful Oz.
That's right. That turns out not to be the case, and you can thank Toto for helping to expose that. Well, this project is to try to get everyone that has this knowledge about the fraud and the income tax together and working together and get their messages out to the average American. And the person that we really have to thank, although the list goes on, but Bob Schultz, which goes back to what we were saying about how things can really blossom. Bob Schultz is the one who's really spearheaded this and taken it to heights that I never could have imagined.
I mean, he's had a couple of national press conference things, and I know CNN, the first one, I think kind of by accident, they broadcast it, and it was the most highly requested program they've ever had.
Yeah, it was actually C-SPAN 2, and they did broadcast it nationally. I remember my cousin from Fremont, Nebraska, saying, "Hey, Joe, I saw you on TV." I'm just amazed at where this has gone. We've had a July 7th, there was a USA Today full-page ad.
I remember seeing that.
The New York Times did a story on November 19th about the withholding issue, as far as the income tax goes. June of 2000, there were two ads in the Washington Times, full-page ads. this thing is going nowhere but up and getting bigger, and I attribute it to the fact that it is truth, and that when people see the truth, they are just amazed, they're angry, they want to get up and do something about it.
How did Schultz get involved in this?
Well, shortly after I was on your show, after I resigned, he got an email across his desk saying that a special agent resigned over the income tax. And he,
now, World Net Daily did a story on it, too.
Yes, they did. So Bob interviewed me on his own show back east, and within a few months decided to have a symposium at the National Press Club, which is what you mentioned before, where C-SPAN 2 televised it nationally. And that national exposure just led to bigger and bigger things. November 13th of 99, we went back there again to the National Press Club. April 13th, we returned again. And the thing about April 13th is at least one representative from each of the 50 states showed up at the National Press Club. And then we went as a group to the White House and met with the senior director at the National Economic Council. We went to Speaker Dennis Hastert's office. We went to Senator Trent Lott's office.
And what did they say? Thank you, goodbye, good luck, and get out?
Well, we had the videotaped meetings with all of them and expressed to them this evidence that shows that the majority of Americans aren't required to pay the federal income tax. We showed them how the 16th Amendment had never been ratified. Just overwhelming evidence that this whole income tax system is a fraud and a scam. They made promises about that they would study it and look into it, but so far they haven't followed through. And Clinton's man at the White House actually later on said to Bob, and I really would like to quote this exactly right, because it's pretty sickening. He said, I got to find it here. He basically said the legality of the income tax is not a priority issue with the Clinton administration.
Hmm.
Now, you know, it's, again, not that that would surprise me, but, I mean, to come out and be that bold to say that the blood, sweat, and tears that people give away 3, 4, and 5 months out of every year of their life is not a high priority for the President of the United States is pretty sickening.
I got to ask you this because, you know, this is something I've been talking about. I've talked to Bill and DV, and you know, this is something that for 10 years I've been talking about this stuff, and it's always been perceived as, it's radical right-wing extremist stuff, and he's just doing it for ratings, and it doesn't mean jack, and nothing's ever going to come of it. Some of the mainstream is starting to nibble around the edges. Now, frankly, I think that they're planning to ambush you, but 60 Minutes 2 got in touch with you, didn't they?
Yeah. Right now it's still in the preliminary stages, and I haven't agreed to an interview.
You're not really going to let them do a job on you, are you?
Well, it's hard to know because I don't want to be one of those those shady attorneys that they follow around with the camera and they say this person wouldn't talk to us. Yeah, that looks suspicious too.
What about John Stossel? I've had John on several times, and he's.
I've emailed John Stossel, O'Reilly. I've tried to contact all kinds of people. And, you know, nobody, 60 Minutes, too, is the one that actually contacted me. I don't know. I haven't done the interview yet, and I haven't agreed to do it. Obviously, I know their reputation. I've seen the 60 Minutes
I would caution you on 60 Minutes as an organization. I'll give you Notre Turlock's private phone number. I'll give you Chris Reddy's phone number, and I'll just tell you that they're bastards. Okay?
Fair enough.
And if you say that the sun comes up in the east, they'll find a way to turn it around on you.
I would imagine that's what they're good at doing.
So Operation Toto, I got to take a brief pause. When we come back, I want you to explain what's going to be happening next with it, okay?
Okay.
I also want to ask you about this movie.
Okay.
Okay? Jeff Metcalf here. Well, we're talking to Joe Bannister, former IRS agent. Fascinating guy. 877-456-6789 is a toll-free number. I will get to your calls as well right after this. Don't go away. Four minutes past the hour. Jeff Metcalf here. We're speaking with former IRS agent Joe Bannister, who's telling us about this Project Toto deal. And basically, what happens February 17th, Joe?
Well, it's basically anyone's invited. You can register at givemeliberty.org. But even if you can't make it to Washington, D.C., I would highly recommend that everyone keep a close eye on that website. That's the We the People for Constitutional Education.
That's Bob Schultz's outfit, right?
Bob Schultz's website. And he'll keep people updated as to the progress. But what the plan is to make a lot of the facts and evidence that convinced me and caused me to change where I work, make that available to millions of Americans via the Internet. And the key is to let the Americans know that it's there. And I think that once they look at it, as I did, you can come to no other conclusion than it's been a gigantic fraud for the last 85-some-odd years.
See, I asked Devi last time she was on. I said, you know, one of the obvious questions that comes to mind is they've got this lawsuit coming up in Oklahoma. They have another one planned for California, then Kentucky. And at some point, Congress could just say, yeah, you guys are right academically, but given the practicalities of the world and so forth, we're just going to fix it right now and go about and re-amend the Constitution. I mean, they could try to do that, couldn't they?
They could try, but I think you can imagine the uproar, I mean, especially with the Internet. You know, I think that's the reason that they haven't done a lot now. They've been trying to obscure the truth being that most Americans aren't required to even pay it. It's only through these the tactics of the IRS that that people think they're required to.
Now, one of the big advantages they have is the mushroom factor. You know, keep people in the dark and feed them BS. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the primary source of information for most Americans, most unenlightened Americans, is, you know, the entertainment.